This is an adult podcast made for adults by adults. Big, big drama alert. Walter and Suede get into a huge argument about whether or not Sonic is gay, and they might actually stop doing the podcast because of how much they hate each other now. Also, Walter really loves Flushing, New York, but it seems a little almost fetishy, I guess? This is the belated Pride Month episode of Fake Film Fans.
Hey everybody, welcome to Fake Film Fans. I want to thank everyone for listening. My name's Suede Best, and it's Pride Month.
And I'm Walter, and I fucking have a ton of kimchi on my walls that I haven't cleaned up, and I'm avoiding it.
How did that happen?
For fucking lunch today, I made a fuck ton of bibimbap, and I guess like it was a little too heavy for my weak arms. Well, actually, the other thing was my other hand had my phone in it, so I felt my hand almost drop my plate, and I had my phone in my hand, so I just let it drop. It fucking cracked, exploded, and all this kimchi is on my fucking white painted walls. And I actually stood there for 30 seconds before I even moved, because I was like just so fucking mad at myself. And I don't understand why this keeps happening to me.
But oh my god, that's so funny.
It fucking sucks. And I'm not cleaning it up because when I clean it up, I feel more sad. So I just avoid it by staying in my study room so I don't have to think about it. But every single time I go try to get water, I see it again, I get sad again.
What are you sad about?
I'm sad that my fucking white walls are stained red.
You can just clean them.
I don't know. I can't get it off.
I don't know. What is Walter? Dude, it's so easy. You just need bleach.
I don't have bleach.
Well, you should have. So now it might be stained permanently. When it first got on there, you should have started. So you're lazy. Laziness is why you're sad, because if you'd just been like, oh fuck, and started cleaning it off instantly, it probably would have gotten off all the way.
There was natto in this, the slimy soybeans from Japan.
Yeah, the fermented soybeans.
And I kind of cleaned the stuff off the floor, but the slime I just left on the floor. Dude. So whenever I get water, my feet just step in the slime.
What is wrong with you? Why are you so foul? Like,
I'm just sad. I'm just sad. I'm sad. I'm fucking sad. It's not foul. I'm just sad.
That's so bizarre. That's so disgusting.
Actually, my life is the worst.
No one is suffering more right now than
Even
Walter.
Even though it's Pride Month, my life is the worst. Even though a lot of things in America are going fucking to the shits when it comes to gender, my life is the worst.
No, nothing. You know what? All that stuff couldn't be as bad as the fact that Walter got kimchi on his walls, because now his white walls are stained red, and truly there is nothing more tragic.
And my feet have NATO slime.
NATO, like what Ukraine is going to join, right?
My life is so sad, even to Ukrainian people.
Isn't it NATO with a long A? NATO?
I'm not Japanese.
Okay. Fine. This is our Pride Month episode. So we both brought two very serious films to interrogate.
Pride Month was last month, so
yeah, Walter's
that.
Not gonna have this but one edited by for the end of Pride Month.
What are you doing? Why are you breaking fucking immersion right now?
I'm sorry. We don't even edit this. It's recorded exactly the way it is. This is exactly what we sound like, and it goes directly to you. So yeah, Walter, you know about the news in America, right? It's been kind of crazy.
Yeah, because I love America.
America, we love your magic flag. There is a recession going on in America. Joe Biden says there's not a recession. Fox News says a recession is coming. But here's what they don't realize is the recession is already here. You know, you and I are powerful and intelligent. I think we should figure out how to fix the recession.
The American recession, right?
I mean, is there a recession going on in other places? I mean, there probably is, but do you have another place you're thinking of?
No, I just wanted to clarify. I don't know. We're not an American-centric podcast here,
That's
man.
True.
We're trying to be international.
That's true. We're international. Well, seeing as how I don't know of any other recessions going on, we'll do the American
Typical
recession.
American.
Typical American. Ignorant. Idiot bitch hole. Ignorant fuck. Eating his burgers. Blue, give me a burger.
Is that your first way to fix it?
No. Everyone is talking about how expensive gas is. Gas prices are going up. It means people are spending their extra expendable income on gas instead of things that like are not necessities. Here's what we do. We switch it up. From now on, cars run on groceries and people eat gas. Because gas is fuel.
Aren't groceries getting recessioned too?
Yeah, but here's the thing about groceries. There are lots of different kinds of groceries, right? Like, for instance, an apple is a different price than a lobster, but they're both groceries. So, I say we start using groceries to power our cars. Number one, because you can use food stamps and SNAP government stuff to buy groceries, but you can't do that with gas. So you're just getting free gas, and ass. You're using the free apples you get from the government to power your car. Also, gasoline is fuel, right? It's powerful fuel. Like, it's got a lot of energy. It's got a lot of power. I can't push a car. And it's because the car uses more power with its gasoline. If I start drinking gasoline, I will be as powerful as a car. Our cars are going to be easier to power because we're filling them up with apples. And B, we might not even need cars because we're drinking gasoline. We'll be super powerful.
Okay, but I'm still confused. So you're saying this will only work for people with food stamps?
No. Because you'll need less gasoline than apples to power yourself.
But isn't apples still, like, increasing because of inflation?
Yeah, but it's not nearly as expensive as gas. I mean, you can get a pound of apples for, like, $2.
But if the demand for apples was to power gas, then the gas would increase less and the apples would increase.
Well, you gotta do
more.
This quick. All right, everyone who's listening to the podcast, don't tell the government about our plans. Because if we tell the government,
okay,
then they're gonna be like, oh, well, I guess apples need to be expensive now. And when the government finds out, we switch from apples to a new thing, right? Like, oh, the apple, they're using apples to power their cars. Guess now we gotta make apples super expensive. Well, guess what? Now we use Ritz crackers to power our cars. Hey, we keep switching.
What about waste groceries? How come you guys don't use that?
See, that is a good idea, Walt. I wasn't thinking about that. We gotta start eating more trash. How to fix the recession? Eat trash. If you're hungry, go to a garbage can, find some leftovers that someone threw away like a wasteful asshole, eat it up.
Wait, I thought we were using the trash to power your car.
That's true. Use the trash to power your car. How do you fix America's recession, Walt?
I was thinking of calling recession, you know, mixing up some of the letters and then just spelling out depression instead. So instead of saying the recession is coming, we can say the depression is coming or the depression is not coming.
You know that there was like a depression in American economic history, right? Like the depression, the Great Depression.
Oh, yeah.
And it was way worse than a recession. That's a worse idea. We don't want to have a depression.
Actually, that's not that bad of an idea, though. If Biden was saying like, yeah, the depression is coming, it's gonna be worse than the Great Depression, it's really bad, and then it turns out it's not that bad, he'll be like, wow, I didn't expect that. Guess I'm a better president than I thought I was.
Okay, I see.
And
what
then everyone
saying
will be happy.
This is like telling your parents you have AIDS and they're like, oh my god, and then you're like, just kidding, I don't have AIDS, but I did fail my math class. And they're like, well, at least you don't have AIDS.
Yeah, I usually do the one where I have twins, but then I actually only have one kid.
I mean, then you can't get rid of your kids now. At least they're not twins.
Look, I'm not here to solve a problem because I don't think problems are meant to be solved. I'm here to market a problem and make it into something that makes you warm and cozy.
Okay. So you're the person who's saying if you're addicted to heroin, but it's okay because, man, heroin's like a nice blanket to wrap around in.
I actually have a better one than that. You're addicted to heroin, but it's okay because fucking famous actress Zoe Lund truly believed in heroin and everyone celebrates her. Abba Ferreira thinks Zoe Lund is the greatest person in the world because she worshipped heroin truly.
You are such a fucking edgelord. That's like some fucking, man, I love Sid Vicious shit. That's some Joker shit, I hope you know. You're like doing some like, oh man, I love the Joker. I need a Joker tattoo. We live in the society.
Dude, Zoe Lund is not even remotely close to the Joker. Zoe Lund's hipster and cool.
I
and
know, but
hot.
Fetishizing her is like liking the Joker. I'm gonna punch you. So you still haven't fixed the recession. You have not fixed the recession. You've just tricked everyone into thinking it's not as bad. Try it again. Or do you need me to give you another example, you idiot?
All right. You can try.
Why don't we just start stealing things more? You can't afford to buy a hamburger? Guess what? punch a cashier in the nose, take a hamburger.
Isn't like the recession mean that there's like not enough things, that's why prices are going up?
Yeah, but that's dumb because you can always get, there's always more hamburgers. What, am I gonna run out of hamburgers? There were like a million cows in the world, just get a cow.
Oh, imperialism.
No, I understand what you're
talking about. You're talking about going to a person of color, not a person of color, taking their resources.
Imperializing people of color, that's passe, it's blasé, it's past, it's pride month. We don't do that in Pride Month.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna go to England and imperialize England.
So all you want is fish and chips.
They have cows in England, don't they?
The people are cows.
Hey now. Moo. Moo. That's how we're gonna fix the recession. We're gonna stop thinking about people as humans and think about them only as cows. From now on, your neighbor is a cow. You eat them for burgers. If you can't afford to eat a hamburger because we've ran out of hamburgers, just bite your neighbor's nose off. After you bite their nose off and they bleed to death, you get all their cool shit. Like, my neighbors just put a pool in.
I didn't realize your neighbor was English. I thought we were imperializing the English.
We're going to imperialize the English, but we're also going to eat our neighbors. It's a twofold process. Because we get stronger. The more people you eat, the stronger you get. And so we'll be able to imperialize way easier.
So what makes you stronger when you eat it? Gasoline or people?
I think gasoline automatically makes you stronger because it's like got better fuel, right? You know, like it makes you do a better punch, maybe, because your muscles are like flying with gasoline combustion powers. But I feel like eating a person, you gain their like intelligence and skills and like soul and stuff. I might not be able to punch harder if I eat my neighbor, but like if my neighbor's like really good at math, I'm like, oh, now I can do numbers and I can like figure out the equations needed. All right, well, how do you fix the recession?
One of the reasons why I think the recession exists is because of economics and politics.
Oh, man.
And genius. Economics and
economics.
Politics.
Economics. Economics
and politics. What is economics?
What is it?
Wall Street. What is politics? China and American shitty relationships.
That's true.
So yes. Change Wall Street into Chinatown and the recession will be fixed. Just get brokers in Wall Street to sell General Tso's chicken.
Like a wet market?
No, wet market is too political. We can't do wet market. It needs to be layman politics. It needs to be that type of politics where you can tweet it and everyone will be like, yay. And then you'll get like 4 mean DMs and then you can just retweet your DMs onto Twitter and then get an extra yay. That's why you can't serve real Chinese food. You have to serve General Tso's chicken.
I got you. So you've got like the waiters and waitresses dressing up like pandas.
Yes, exactly. Except it's the brokers. It's the Wall Street brokers. So it's all men. It's all guys in ties and suits. It's all 25-year-olds who just got out of Harvard and played in the lacrosse team. Harvard.
No, you said Harvard. We got to talk about Harvard.
Okay. What did we say the recession was? Politics and economics.
That's
so
right.
So Harvin teaches Chinese history, Chinese language, Chinese literature, Chinese food, Chinese culinary skills, and economics. Chinese conservation, so more pandas, Chinese white and black coloration division. Because if you can't see the difference between black and white, you wouldn't know it's a panda. You would just think it's a black bear or a polar bear. So you need to know the difference between black and white.
That is true. That is incredibly... Well, you know, I give you a lot of shit for saying stupid shit all the time, but what you just said was the smartest thing I've ever heard. If you couldn't tell the difference between black and white as a color, you couldn't tell a panda bear from a regular bear.
Well, you could tell it from a brown bear or a grizzly bear.
But I think conversely, you wouldn't be able to tell a difference between a polar bear and a black
bear. That's probably true, yeah.
There would be 3 types of bears at this point. No, there would only be 2 bears. Brown bears and this nebulous bear that is like, what is it?
And you might recite Edgar Allan Poe's poem as the dove.
Why is that funny to you? I don't get what. What I don't. Oh my god. Jesus Christ. All right, I figure somewhere in there is a way to fix the recession. I'm not worried about the recession. I'm gonna drink gasoline and bite my neighbor's nose off.
Wait, was my dove joke really bad? Not funny.
I have no clue why you thought that was funny. I like that. Like that's fucking weird. I don't know what's up with you with that.
I brought Alice Wu's Saving Face. If you don't know who Alice Wu is, she directed the half of it. It was actually her second film. That big romantic comedy came out in Netflix. Not a surprise, if you don't know, Wu is a Chinese name. Alice Wu's Saving Face is about Chinese Asians in NYC.
You know, I've always heard that this is like one of those movies early on in like the sort of like Asian American Western film canon. Before it, the only movie that kind of functioned similar to this was the Joy Luck Club, right?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know. I'm not going to say anything about that. I only discovered Joy Luck Club and early Ang Lee films and Saving Face after I went to America. So I think a lot of it has to do with me not really knowing the Asian diaspora well enough before I went to America.
Can I actually ask a question? Why do you call it an Asian diaspora, right? Because it, you know, when people talk about the African diaspora, it makes sense because these people were dragged forcibly from their nation, from their, you know, their various communities and brought over here. But that's not necessarily the case for a lot of Asian Americans. So why do you call it a diaspora?
To be fair, I should call it the Chinese diaspora. I probably shouldn't be just saying Asian diaspora, but at the same time, there is a bit of fluidity between Asians when they end up in another country. A big example of why the diaspora has a historical perspective on it is the Gold Rush.
The Gold Rush and the building of the American railways. Yeah, that makes sense.
You can extend that to like a lot of ships had Asian cooks. And even today, there's a lot of Chinese immigrants who go out of the country. So I don't know what your definition of diaspora is, but my understanding of diaspora is a study or a understanding of the patterns of how migration of a certain group exists in the world. And it's weird, right? Because I agree, someone from Hong Kong or China, if you just grew up in those places, you probably don't even believe in a diaspora because you're just not tapped into that type of history. Look, I know like Judaism can be touchy.
Yeah, well, why don't you be careful right now? Because I'm the king of the Jews, and I'm not 100% sure I feel comfortable with whatever you're about to say.
I'm pretty sure most Jewish people understand themselves through a diaspora.
Yeah, because we're the most powerful.
I don't think diaspora gives you power.
No, but we are. The Jews are the most powerful. The Jews are powerful people. We all have magic.
I will say, learning about my diaspora gives me like a magical feeling, and which is why a film like this is so easy to become my fucking favorite.
When this, I mean, because this has everything. On the one hand, it has all this diaspora stuff we're talking about. It interrogates cultural identity when that cultural identity exists in a separate culture. It also interrogates queer relationships, and it's also a romantic comedy. Because the basic premise is that Will and her mother, Gao, start living together, which is a problem for Will, because Will, she's a lesbian. And she starts falling in love with this woman, Vivian, who is her boss's daughter. And then also, another key element is the reason that the mother gets kicked out of her parents' house is because she has a child out of wedlock.
Will and her mom's relationship is actually the one I care a lot about. I think Will and Vivian's relationship is very interesting and very cool. But of course, because I'm not an Asian lesbian, despite how much I try hard to be one, I just can't like really comment on exactly the type of relationship they have and how much I can relate to that.
When the movie's not all that much about their, I mean,
I don't want to do what you did to fucking Brokeback Mountain last podcast. So
that's what it is. That's what it is, isn't it?
You can do that with any Pride film, though. That's like the issue. Basically, you can tear out any queer story and make it into some, like, it's supposed to be about something else more.
Well, but what I'm saying is that a key element is, I mean, so the movie's called Face, right? It's you know, it's got this word face in the title, right? A lot of what this movie about is that concept of face. This movie is not just a romantic comedy because of this concept of face, because of this relationship between the way one is supposed to act culturally and the actual things that the characters want.
Well, I will say this in response to that. The relationships in this film are plentiful. There are a lot of different types of relationships. I don't see Will and Vivian's relationship that much around me in Hong Kong. I see Will's relationship with her mom, Will's relationship with her grandparents a lot more in Hong Kong.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
But I don't know if that's the same case in a city like New York City. Let me ask you a question. Do you think if Will and Vivian's relationship was the most important part of this movie, suddenly you wouldn't be able to talk about the other relationships? Maybe that's what I'm like curious about. Why do you have a desire to prioritize?
I guess to me, if what this movie was about was prioritizing the lesbian relationship, it would feel like a traditional romantic comedy, right? Like, because traditional romantic comedies don't often think about the outside trappings. When they do think of the outside relationships, these films, they tend to be in context with the people who are trying to be in a relationship.
I don't think this film is, like, more complex because it deals with the Asian diaspora, and therefore it's more complex. I think this film is more complex because it deals with its relationships in a complex way.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think the queer identity in this film is actually dealt with in a very nuanced and complex way. I just don't know enough that I can, like, really give you the right examples. In fact, I would say me not understanding their relationship is, like, what makes it actually complicated. And I feel this way because if you draw comparisons to the way this film talks about the diaspora, there's actually a lot I don't know, which is why I think it's complicated. The diaspora elements in this movie that I should understand are actually complicated enough that I don't understand all of it. And that's extra interesting for me. So, for example, I love Flushing in New York City. And I always tell you, it's because it's the only thing I think that looks like a Chinese city outside of China. And I have so much romantic feelings about it, and I romanticize it so much. But these kids, both Will and Vivian, are both people who were born and grew up in Flushing. They both talk so much about needing to escape and leave that community. That is like a huge check for me and my romanticization of Flushing. I'm like reminded, oh fuck, my romanticization of Flushing is so one-sided. I need to rethink of my understanding of Flushing. Do you know anything about Flushing, New York City, Swade?
Is it Flushing, like F-L-E-S-H-I-N-G, or Flushing, F-L-U-S-H-I-N-G?
It's Flushing.
Flushing, like when you flush a toilet.
Yes.
I mean, I've been to a Chinatown. Is Flushing not just like that?
No, but it's good that you ask, because I do think the differences do show why I care about Flushing a lot. So in my opinion, Flushing is the mecca of the Asian diaspora. I'm going to fucking say it. Like, people who disagree with me can just suck a dick. If you're a Chinese diaspora person and you won't care about the diaspora, you have to go to Flushing. The first time I went to Flushing, after like 2 years in fucking Goucher, I went up to New York City. I saw Flushing and I was fucking blown out of my mind. Because as I said, it is a city that 100% looks like a Chinese city, but it is not in fucking China. And it's fucking crazy. The funniest thing about this is that I've talked to a lot of people from China, and they always think Flushing looks like Hong Kong. It does not. It shows that Flushing, everyone knows it's a Chinese city, but they know it's not their own. They know it's like nothing alike anything they've ever seen, but it's 1,000,000% a Chinese city.
So it's in this weird nebulous space where it's not my Chinese space.
Yes.
But it is a Chinese space. So the mainland folks think of it as Hong Kong, and the Hong Kong folks think of it as mainland.
Exactly. So why is it not Chinatown? Chinatown is a fucking archaic sort of like tourist spectacle. You have a lot of Chinese lanterns around. You have Chinese stores that are in the mind of selling things to tourists. I don't know, like some of the buildings look a little Chinese. This in Flushing is more just your downtown, but like it's a big shopping mall and a lot more Chinese stores.
Right. I mean, it's like there's no affect. It's not like, oh, look at this cool dragon or like whatever. It's like, no, this is just like where the Chinese people
and
are.
There's as many people as there are in Times Square, except 80% of them are yellow, and it's in New York City. It fucking blew my mind. I was like so impressed. I was so in love.
Would you say that's your favorite place in the United States of America?
I have a lot of romantic feelings towards it, but like the more I dig into the Asian diaspora, the more I realize I have a very fetishy kind of thing because I don't come from America. So my relationship to Flushing is a little biased. And this film is just a really good example of why my thing is a little biased. Also, this film starts in a ball in Flushing. I didn't even know Chinese people dealt in balls to match
me. I thought you had a ball with your grandma where you danced with your brother and you were super high on marijuana.
That was more like a birthday. That's like a group gathering dinner that everyone comes together and eats. That's not a ball. That's like a banquet
meal. But
you
guys danced. That's a ball.
No, that's a banquet meal.
Do you want to have a ball? Do you want to do a ball with me? We could go to a ball?
I mean, not really. I don't really care about balls. I mean, aren't balls
mainly... You wouldn't dance with me?
Aren't balls mainly just to, like, hook up?
No, it's to dance.
We're not talking about the same ball, because I'm talking about the matchmaking ball.
Oh, like a matchmaking event. Kind of like Carly Rae Jepsen's hit song, I Didn't Just Come Here to Dance.
I didn't just come here to dance.
Where my mom tries to get me to flirt with some guys even though I'm a lesbian.
Does your mom do that? Does she try to get you to flirt with people?
I'm trying to explain to you that my fucking life, I never had a ball.
That doesn't mean your mom's never tried to play matchmaker.
She's never tried to play matchmaking with me.
Do you think it's because she knows you're a lost cause?
Maybe. Does your mom know that you always matchmake with yourself?
What do you mean? Do you mean like when I masturbate?
No, I meant to ask the same question, but I worded it wrong and I gave up on trying to make the
grammar
right.
Yeah, you did. You did a very bad job at wording it. Anytime I interact with anyone remotely feminine, my mom is like, oh, maybe you should put your wiener inside them. And I'm like, Mom.
Yeah, but that's not the same type of matchmaking that's happening in this movie, right? The mom is matchmaking with another mom and says, my daughter is hot. Your son is in Wall Street. Let's hook them up at the ball. Does your mom do that?
No, my mom does not. Because my mom's old. She like had me when she was old. So all of her friends' kids are aged either like way older than me or like way younger than me. There's not like any middle ground. So it's like my mom has been like hinted at like, oh, she's cute. And I'm like, Mom, that girl's 19. I'm 27. There's like some, you know.
Yeah, but you guys live in Roanoke.
That's true, where we fuck cows.
Oh, the British.
The British. Oi, guys! Is that a bull? Oi! So your mom has never played matchmaker.
Not for me, no.
What about for Riley?
No. Not for my sister either.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know what it is either, because I know my aunt plays matchmaker for like her cousins and stuff. So, I mean, I never really want to start that conversation and ask my mom, because if I started that conversation, I'd be really scared that she'd think I'm interested and then start doing it for me, which is not what I want. So, we're just going to never talk about
Dude,
it.
Dude, what if we did an episode? All right, listeners, we're going to get Walter's mom on the podcast and we're going to have her play matchmaker with Walter. We're going to have a speed round. I'll bring women onto the podcast like through my microphone, and we'll have the Walter's mom be like, yeah, Walter, you should go on a date with her. Like, no, that's not gonna happen. How do you feel about that, Walter?
I'm not doing it. I'm not fucking doing it. This is so fucking weird. Why do you want to matchmake? It's actually like an archaic thing.
I just want to see you happy and in a happy relationship, Walt.
If we do it on a Twitch stream, I will do it. But I'm not fucking doing it on a podcast about movies. That makes no sense. I'm not fucking like selling my mom for content. That's so weird.
Why? I do it all the time.
I'm moving on and pretending this conversation is not happening. So you can see what I'm saying, right? Even though this film's diaspora is an extra addition to this movie, it's not because the diaspora is added to this movie, so this movie's more complicated. It's that the diaspora is done in a complex way where you actually see fucking Flushing in this fucking movie, which means like this movie actually understands where the Asians are in New York City. But that doesn't mean this movie doesn't have things I don't relate to, right? The structure of the family here is actually like something I completely see. It's basically a strict grandpa with a very understanding grandma. And then when it gets to the second generation, like my mom and dad, my dad is like the weak guy. And then my mom is like the one who bickers and like tells my dad to stop eating fucking meat. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. The grandpa's actually really funny. So there's this really funny bit where the grandpa's doing Tai Chi in a park and a bunch of black basketball players are like in the background and they're like, come on, man. Tell this guy to get off our court so we can play basketball. And they all are like too scared because he's just playing fucking Tai Chi and like his face is so stern because he's part of the war and he's just some stereotypical like mean ass grandpa. So they just like leave and they're all pissed and like, fuck this. I love that scene so much because one, he once told me that I fit in the Asian stereotype in NYC because I show up on basketball courts in flip-flops. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I didn't even know this was a stereotype. This is what I want to ask you. What is the Asian stereotype in Roanoke for like old people?
I honestly don't know, Walt. That's not a community I have a lot of connection with. I don't know. Did you see any Asian people when you were in Roanoke?
Yeah, we went to the Asian store and we went to the Asian restaurant.
Oh, that's true. And see, most of the time when I see Asian folks, it's at Asian restaurants. And it's also weird because in Roanoke, half of the restaurants that are like Asian restaurants are staffed by Asian people. And the other half are staffed by Latinos who just cook American Chinese food. And I mean, they make good food.
Yeah. Fucking deep fried avocado dumplings is super Chinese. I love it.
Yeah, it's deep fried avocado, Tex-Mex, barbecue, kimchi, bibimbap.
Bibimbap.
Bibimbap. Oh no, I spilled it on
my
walls.
My fucking walls.
Oh no, the walls. The walls of Jericho.
The reason why I brought up though is because sometimes I get stereotypes put onto me that I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? And then I watch these movies and I'm like, Oh, that's where it comes from. There are these stern-looking Chinese men in the fucking parks that is like, what the fuck is this guy doing here? I feel like I can't talk to him because he's so mean and exclusive. And like, it clicks in my head because for me, my life, I grew up with the weak man. The man who always gets bullied by the wife until like it comes to like economics or cheating or like drinking. The one who I really fucking relate to though in this movie is 1,000,000% Gao, or the mom, Ma. She like fits this like cute Asian mom stereotype who all the children are annoyed with and like hate how the mom keeps like nitpicking all their fucking things and thinks everything they do sucks. But like everyone outside thinks the mom is like endearing and cute.
I will say I did relate to like that sort of experience. Like, for instance, I came downstairs today, so my mom looks at me, and my little brother's got a stomach bug, I think, or something, and she looks at me, and she's like, Rocky has a stomach bug, and I'm like, I know, and she's like, I think it's because of that thing you made, because I've been fermenting ginger, and she was like, you didn't boil it this time, right? And I was like, no, I didn't boil it, I just threw it in. She's like, no, I'm pretty sure that's, he got sick from that. And it's like, Mom, I've been drinking it, and I've not gotten sick once, it's fine. If anything, my digestive tract is working 100% better because it's like got fermented good stuff in it. But everyone outside of my intermediate circle is like, oh, your mom's so nice. Your son's so sweet.
I would say the big difference from my experience between like white families and my Asian families. Okay, my mom is like way better now. But dude, the mom in this family definitely did exactly what my mom did when they would get mad at me and scold me. They'd be like, you don't respect me. You don't care about me. You just want me to be left out on the street and let me die. Like, my mom has definitely said this to me. Like, I don't even understand how you came out of my womb. Shit like that. White moms don't do this, do you?
No. Like, what you're explaining is like a big loud fart of stuff. And my mom is more of like a consistent little thin fart. Just like always a little bit of guilt. Can I actually ask a question? I talked about the concept of face earlier. Do you have to deal with that a lot, right? The idea of, like, acting certain ways for your family's social standing?
I don't have my older generation coming up to me and, like, moaning, like, oh my god, save our face, save our face. But when I was growing up as a little kid, it was always implied. Anything I did would always be like, okay, there's something you have to understand. The extended family is very important.
Well, and I've seen you. I mean, so like Walter likes to say that like he always eats with his hands all the time. Every time we go out somewhere with his parents, Walter always is so much more well-behaved. So I know there is some saving face you do when you're with your parents.
I think a lot of that is trying to behave away in front of our parents. But no one's freaking out in a fucking nice restaurant. You or me.
Let me rephrase the question to see if that helps. When you don't eat with your hands when we're hanging out with your parents, is it because you don't want to embarrass your family or because you don't want to get scolded by your mom? Because I think embarrass your family is the face. Being scolded by your mom is not wanting to embarrass your mom.
For me, it's both. I mean, first of all, I don't want to make my parents upset if I eat with my hands. And then, yeah, if I ate with my hands in public and my parents were embarrassed, I'd feel a little bad. But is that something you don't feel at all?
No, I mean, it is. It is, but it doesn't come from a place of me losing social standing, right? Which is what face is about.
Actually, you know why I think I'm struggling with your question? Your scenario, the stakes of it are like too small. It doesn't feel like there's like a real type of social risk. See, the thing with that you have to understand about this movie is that the saving face that happens is not Will embarrasses her mom or her mom embarrasses her grandparents.
No, it's the lesbian stuff.
No, it's not just that. It's the fact that Will is dating Vivian, who's part of the community, and that her mom is being ostracized from the community. My community in fucking Baltimore, when I'm at a restaurant, doesn't exist. My dad and mom were not part and connected to a community. But I will say when I dropped out of college, that was a lot of face away. Like, I'm pretty sure my mom and dad felt a lot of face get destroyed or whatever.
They were ashamed. Is that the word you would use? Ashamed?
Or at least there was some type of social standing in a type of the whole extended family felt like my mom and dad did a bad job of raising their kids.
Okay, so there's a loss of social capital.
It depends on what type of community you're talking about. And in this movie, it feels like the community is the whole fucking Flushing, which is something I never experienced before in America. And in Hong Kong, if I say I experienced it, I would be lying a little bit. I don't know. My mom, for sure, does a lot of work to not feel part of these type of communities. But when I'm outside, the person who I'm most conscious about sort of disappointing is my mom, because she's kind of the more active scolder, per se. On the other hand, I feel way less conscious about disappointing my dad because he doesn't usually need to say anything or even mention anything. But there's this type of active pressure that I recognize he sort of ingrains in his identity that sometimes I just feel. And I think the reason why Face is so strong in saving Face has less to do with the literal actions or words any of the characters say to each other. It's the fact that the community in this film is so clear. The boundaries of this community is so clear that when Face is being lost, you completely understand what it is in relationship to.
You know, I have sort of opposite experience. I'm usually less worried about embarrassing my family in their communities and more worried about them embarrassing me in my communities, right? Like, I am more worried about my face with my community than theirs because theirs are, like, so easy to navigate. I'm very rarely like, oh no, what am I going to do? Because I've got the social mores down. But on the other hand, I'm always like, oh God, come on, fucking my family, you know. And it's outside of just like, oh my God, my mom and dad are embarrassing.
I definitely think that's very different. I don't think the hierarchy goes downwards. So there is no way that my mom and dad can make me lose face.
Don't you think there are things that your parents could do that would make you lose face in your own community?
It would make me mad, it would make me upset, but it doesn't make me lose face in the same way that the hierarchy goes.
I'm just imagining, like, what if we're, like, with all of our people from college, and then, like, your mom, like, says something racist?
I would be annoyed at my mom for making my relationships complicated, but that has nothing to do with, like, the social capital of, like, I wouldn't need to care. I do care. I'm not saying I don't care. It's just like, if you're talking about it in this type of abstract term, yeah, if my friend group, like, treated me like absolute dog shit, I could easily go back to my family and not feel anything. If my family considered me, like, completely down in the dumps and gone, my whole identity would feel like it would change a lot.
I mean, I do think you're talking a little bit out of your ass because, like, if I was, like, mad at you and, like, didn't speak to you anymore, you would just be, like, crying, like,
yeah, exactly. I would be really sad.
I miss you so much.
It is out of my ass a little bit, but at the same time, I think we've just never talked about a relationship in this way ever, which makes it really hard for me to even imagine it that way.
I get what you're saying. Our relationship is, like, important, but it is not the crux of your identity.
It also doesn't give me some benefits of, like, social standing.
Yeah, like, you don't get to, like, have a nice apartment because we're friends.
Exactly. Actually, okay. So maybe in the end, they are similar things in appearance wise, but because the language is different, something a little more abstract is just different. I think when you use different language, it just changes the stakes, responsibilities, and attitudes you have, even if the actions look kind of the same. If this was a white family, I think it would still look the same, but the language would be different.
That's true. And I think this concept of, like, face and, like, social standing in a community in a white context really functions in a small town. If you were in a really small town where everyone knows your family, or you're very rich, and so, like, you're like, I'm from the Willingston Churchill family, you know, like, that's when it matters. But for, like, your average Joe who, like, can go off on their own, it matters a whole lot less.
So I still want to talk a little bit about who is sort of progressive in this movie, because it's kind of my favorite part. I think there's this, like, weird understanding that in each new generation, the new generation that's more progressive, per se, compared to the old conservative one with traditions, is, like, they learn something new. So they're in a different space. They're, like, liberal now. I think this film really shows that it's not like that, and it's that everyone sort of moves on a different ladder.
That's interesting. I like the word ladder. I think that's good.
So let's put it this way. I love that the fact the main character of this movie is Will, and not Vivian, and not her mom. Because the person who in this movie is actually shaming the family the most is not Will's lesbianism. It's Will's mom getting pregnant out of wedlock.
Who, as it turns out, is, like, way younger than her, right? Spicy, sexy. Mommy. Mommy. Oh, mommy.
Yes, but no one knows this young boy, so. But because Will is the younger person, as the audience, we immediately just see her as open-minded, liberal. On the other hand, Vivian is incredibly way more progressive than Will is.
Well, yeah, she's willing to be, like, out with her lesbianism.
Exactly. And she's the one who wanted to escape Flushing way harder than Will. So a bit of backstory. Vivian actually was disillusioned by the community way earlier than Will, or at least more openly disillusioned, because her dad left her mom for, like, a younger woman, and the community sort of turned their backs on Vivian's mom when Vivian was very young.
When it's not just that, right? It's also her dance. She doesn't want to do ballet. She wants to do new dance. I forget what the dance... Wait, what would you call the new dance?
Modern dance.
That's what she does, modern dance.
Yeah. And Will's job, she's a doctor. She keeps going to the ball every week. She lets her mom berate her, despite the fact she's, like, helping her mom. She, like... When her mom asks her to go to the barbershop to listen to gossip, Will legit knows how to fucking go to the barbershop to listen to the gossip properly. Will is, despite being a lesbian and being, like, more progressive generationally, she is surprisingly also very ingrained in that type of rooted culture. And, you know, my favorite example of this in this movie is the type of actions that make her mom seem very conservative. The two big ones for me are that her mom is incredibly mean to her despite the fact she's helping her. While her mom doesn't take out her anger on the woman who gossip, like the people who she should be angry at, she doesn't. She only like takes out her anger on a daughter who's helping her. Number two, what she does that feels kind of like conservative and shitty is she tries to matchmake Will to boys despite knowing that Will might be a lesbian. The funny thing is Will does those two fucking things to her mom too. But when she does it, I mean, the film does not try to portray it, and no one will think of it as a conservative tradition. She matchmakes it to her mom towards people she doesn't think her mom will love, because she goes into the hospital and goes, tell me whatever fucking Chinese person man is here. Give me any Chinese man, and I'm gonna, like, get my mom to date all these people. And when she's actually super upset at Vivian, she never yells at Vivian.
She just yells at her mom.
When she's super stressed out about her job, she always just yells at her mom. So she does the exact same fucking things her mom does to her. But because she's younger, because she is more progressive in a way, it's toned down? Question mark? And it's a fucking strong relationship that reminds me of my relationship with my mom. Because I fucking do this shit to her too. I take out my anger on her when I don't want to take out my anger on other people.
Oh, do you really? Well, you take your anger out on your mom?
Yeah.
That's why. What do you do?
What do you mean, what I do?
How you take your anger?
I just go, like when she says something, like, she's just trying to be nice and, like, ask questions or something like that. Or just, like, I get annoyed and I get frustrated. I wouldn't do that with most people.
No, yeah, you I mean,
right?
Well,
and that's, like,
yeah,
fucking
weird.
Yeah,
you basically only do it to, you did it a lot to me and Tori when we lived together.
That's fair. Yeah, so in some ways, there is, like, a weird thing where, like, if you are able to be super mean to someone, that means you feel incredibly comfortable
with them.
I guess.
Well, you know what's weird? Actually, that's not true. Never mind. I never snap at my folks. I do. I just try not to.
I just think it's, like, really cool how Will and her mom are literally kind of the same character in the end. This is the big difference of the generations, is that her mom has a hard time accepting that Will might be gay. While Will was immediately like, all right, you're pregnant. I'm going to be there. Not really, because I don't really want to be with my mom, but I understand, and I'm going to be understanding of that.
But don't you think it'd be flipped if the other way around was, like, the reason that Will's mom got kicked out of her grandparents' house is because she was a lesbian. Her mom would, she would still let her mom stay. Like, it kind of doesn't matter what Will's mom does. She's going to be able to stay with her mom anyways, or her daughter anyways.
Yes. So that's why I say it, the generational thing is the mentality of the acceptance.
Okay, I see. I like that turn of phrase, Walt. Mentality of acceptance. That's a really good one. Brought a pretty serious film, sort of interacting with the sort of queer identity stuff. I brought Sonic the Hedgehog because I watched this movie. I've watched both the first one and the second one, and what I came away with is, why does everyone want to have sex with Sonic the fucking Hedgehog? I just don't get it. I just don't understand. And this is not to say that, like, furries are the same thing as queer people. I don't know. Maybe some furries want to argue and be like, I think that we deserve to be part of the LGBTQ. I don't know. But I do know that there are a lot of gay people who want to have sex with Sonic the Hedgehog. And I am a part of certain degenerate parts of the internet that I doubt Walter has access to. And I just want to know why people want to fuck Sonic so bad. So I asked some people. First, I asked Celine, because I watched Sonic the Hedgehog 2 with Celine. And throughout the film, I asked Celine if she would have sex with Sonic at different points. And not once during the film did she say she would have sex with Sonic. She was always saying no. The only character she seemed to be willing to have sex with was Dr. Eggman, which I think has to do more with the fact that Celine likes Jim Carrey and less to do with the fact of his performance. Someone else was in the house. I've been told not to out them as to who they are, but they also would not have sex with Sonic the Hedgehog. I will tell you, I did not want to have sex with Sonic the Hedgehog in this film either. And I don't normally want to have sex with Sonic the Hedgehog. He's not someone I normally would want to have sex with. So I went to sort of my various places on the internet and I asked some people and I got a few different interesting responses. This is one of my favorite ones. Someone said, no, but I would do the Badger Girl from the Sonic the Hedgehog TV show. And then someone else responded, Sonic is a boy, having sex with him would be gay, and that sounds pretty gay, not gonna lie. And then someone else, the same person who said they'd have sex with the Badger Girl, said, it's not gay if it's a fictional hedgehog. And that really is where I want to beetle down into. Is it gay to have sex with Sonic? Or is the fact that he's a cartoon hedgehog transcend traditional gender binary questions?
I think Sonic can be queer if you want him to be, but I don't think he necessarily needs to.
Well, but so what I'm saying is you do not agree with the assertion that it is not gay because Sonic the Hedgehog is a cartoon hedgehog. You would say it is still gay even though he is a cartoon hedgehog.
So in the end, this is still all just a spectrum and none of it is like a definition.
Okay, but so like then what do you think about adding the like layer of cartooniness to it, right? Like
perhaps it adds a little bit more of a layer on the spectrum, but at the same time, it depends on the person who wants to do the definition.
But do you think gender trumps cartoon? Which comes first, right? If I'm a man, and I am, I'm a powerful man. I'm a powerful Southern man, and you're a powerful Chinese man, and together we're having this discussion. What are you, a small, weak Chinese man?
I just don't love my masculinity as much as you do.
You are masculine, Walter. You're very masculine.
Okay, that's actually a hate crime, but that's okay.
Okay, I don't know why you're struggling with this question so much. I just want to negotiate and navigate. If we were to have sex with Sonic, what stands out more? The fact that he is a man, the fact that he is a cartoon, or the fact that he is a blue hedgehog? Is there a hierarchy to those things?
Well, that's why I guess I'm struggling with it, because in my head, it's like, duh, there's no hierarchy. It depends on the fucking person who chooses. It's not okay to do it on a real person, because the real person should be able to identify what they want to be. But if it's a fucking cartoon...
What do you mean by that?
It means if I want to have sex with you, I can't be like, Suede, you're a fucking turtle, so I'm into bestiality. No, you have your own definition of your identity, so I can't just force my understanding of what my sex with you would mean.
I don't know if I agree with that, Walt, because I would have, if I was going to have sex with Timothy Chalamet, it would not be because he's a man, it's because he's very feminine, right? And I'm not saying that's anything ontological about Timothy Chalamet. I'm just saying that, like, the element I'm attracted to via Timothy Chalamet are his more feminine qualities.
I disagree with that. You are talking about your sex with the fantasy of your Timothy Chalamet. If you were to actually meet Timothy Chalamet, you would not be fucking, oh, Timothy Chalamet, I only want to fuck you because you're a feminine person. That would be kind of bad.
Okay, but what about that initial attraction?
I don't think initial attraction leads to sex.
What are you talking about? How? What is wrong? Okay, what?
I think to like do the action of sex is like a complicated process that has already taken a lot of thoughts and feelings to get there. You can't just jump at it with like this initial intention.
That is totally untrue. There are lots of people who just fucking have sex because they're attracted to someone. We know these people who are just like very cool and very free and very open and very willing to just be like, I think this person's attractive and I want to have an orgasm. If you're attracted to someone and you're attracted to them for a specific reason, that's not reducing their identity.
I guess your example that a lot of people just fuck on sight is like a good refute, but I do think there's like a bit of reduction in it. I don't know if I agree
because like it's not reduction to appreciate a painting.
Yeah, but paintings aren't humans. That's the point, isn't it?
But you're not saying that this is your only quality. This is saying that from this interaction I want with you, this is the quality that I am appreciating. I know plenty of people who are like, yeah, I think you're very beautiful and I would like to spend time with you physically.
And you know what it is? It's not that I think that doesn't happen, but I think there has to be an allowance from the other side for it to happen when compared to a painting or Sonic the Hedgehog. So from the initial attraction, those allowances like social cues, quick consensual yes and no questions happen. So it's not just initial reaction sex. There's a lot of steps in between. Maybe a little more taken for granted, but there's still steps.
But what does that have to do with the initial attraction, right? Because I agree that, like, you can jerk off to Sonic any way you want, but if I'm going to have sex with Timothy Chalamet, Timothy and I are going to have to, like, communicate so that I don't do anything unkind, and he doesn't do anything unkind, and we're, like, trusting and respecting each other. But I still think he has beautiful eyes and pouty ladylike lips. I don't know if that's reduced his identity. I mean, because, like, he's also a very good actor.
I don't know. Maybe it's less about, like, I think the relationship is reduced and more that I think if I wanted to have sex with Sonic, I get to decide their gender.
Okay. I guess that's true. I guess, yeah, because you can imagine Sonic could be a woman.
Exactly.
But if you imagine him as a dude, is it gay, Walt? That's the question. If you have sex with a male Sonic as a male, are you gay? Or are you just a furry?
What is your response? You asked me this question, but I don't really understand it. And you don't understand why I don't understand it. So why don't you explain to me how you understand this fucking question?
So let's establish some baselines that you and I agree. Wanting to put a wiener inside your mouth is not necessarily gay, depending on who has the wiener, right? There are traditional Western understandings about the way certain individuals are supposed to look. If we use those as placeholders, and we say, this is what a man looks like, and this is what a woman looks like, regardless of the genitals they have, it seems like a waste of time to me to decide who's gay and who's straight based on genitals, and more to do with how people look physically, if you want to stick to these traditional gender roles, right? It's probably less useful to stick to them because, of course, everyone looks different. And, like, these idea of, like, what is masculine and what is feminine is also, like, a total fallacy. So I don't think the fact that Sonic has a penis is what makes it gay to have sex with Sonic, necessarily. Because Sonic doesn't look like a person. So Harley Quinn from the Batman cartoon is heavily stylized, but still looks like a person. Sonic doesn't look like a person at all. And we're assuming Sonic has a penis. I don't know. I've never seen Sonic's penis outside of the many, many images people have drawn of Sonic's penis, right? I don't necessarily think wanting to have sex with Sonic, if you're a man, is gay because Sonic doesn't look like a person, right? Like, it's so, like, outside of the human context. Maybe it's queer, I don't know, but I don't think it's necessarily gay, unless we get back to the thing you were talking about the reasons you're attracted to Sonic, right? Like, is his cocky attitude very masculine to you? In which case, yeah, it's probably gay to want to have sex with Sonic, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, but why, if you were frustrated that I was struggling, why are you struggling? I feel like you brought up this question because you thought there was something very easy that I was being too dumb that I didn't understand.
Okay.
So what is it that I'm too dumb that I didn't understand?
Because you didn't answer my question. You walked around my question. I'm in the question right now. I'm sitting in the answer chair. Oh, excuse me one second. I've been standing all day. Let me take a little seat. This is me sitting in the answer chair. And then here comes Walter, freaking Walter, just walking around. I'm not going to sit down in the answer chair. I'm going to point at things that could be the answer, but I'm not going to sit down.
What I said, though, dude. Your answer is literally what I fucking said.
No, I'm saying that I don't think wanting to have sex with Sonic is gay unless you want to have sex with Sonic for his masculine traits.
Okay, so I agree with that, and that kind of sounds like what I said.
So. No, you said, oh, my name's Walter, and I'm a dumbass. Oh!
Okay, that is exactly what I said. Yes, I said that. Yes, you're right.
I don't think there's an answer. I just want you to play with me in the space, Walt.
I fucking said what you said. I said it depends on the fucking person to decide what they think Sonic is.
You said it like you didn't want to play in the space.
Oh, so it was my attitude.
It was your attitude. It was your attitude. your attitude to this question is like, why would I even answer that question? It's stupid.
No, I was saying it in a way that, like, this question is is like something.
Walter hurt my feelings on Pride Month. Walter hurt them. Walter hurt my Pride Month feelings.
All right. I apologize. I am the wrong. I will answer your question. I think wanting to have sex with Sonic is gay.
Okay, why?
I don't know.
Okay, what about this? This is an interesting layer. So this is another response. Unlike other furry characters, Sonic characters are so far removed from the animals that they represent that it's hard to make them be animals. It's hard to say that, like, Sonic is a hedgehog because really he looks nothing like a hedgehog. Which is true. I mean, Sonic does not look like a hedgehog. So it's like, it's another added layer of weird, right?
Maybe the reason why I don't think these layers are very, like, weird is because talking about Sonic is a very popular conversation in the VR chat community.
Oh my God. Well, why don't you go marry the, why don't you do a podcast with your VR chat friends, Walt? Oh, let me put on my video headset. Oh, now I'm in the VR space. Oh.
See, initially when you said you were going to talk about, like, did you want to fuck Sonic? I thought this question was going to be like, why the fuck would you want to fuck a crazy OCD, incredibly, doesn't stop talking, annoying person?
Do you mean ADD? Do you mean ADD?
ADD. Yeah, ADD. Sorry, ADD. And I was going to be like, Suede, I literally was going to be like, oh my God, Suede, I couldn't understand why I would ever want to fuck Sonic because his character is so shit. But then I realized Sonic is you. And now I realize Sonic. Why everyone wants to fuck Sonic, because everyone wants to fuck you.
I'm Sonic. Why am I Sonic? I think I'm more of a Dr. Eggman myself.
No, dude, you definitely people want to fuck Sonic the same way people want to fuck you. You bring people on adventures, you don't stop talking, and you bring people into their, like, different type of stories, and you give people energy.
Well, I'm sorry I was yelling at you, because that's very sweet. That means a lot to me, what you just said. I mean, I will say, I think that is, like, actually a really astute thing to point out, is that, like, people don't want to just have sex with Sonic because he's a blue hedgehog, right? And so, like, it's not just people wanting to have sex with Sonic, because he's, like, he's a being in a lot of ways.
Because the thing about this visual shit that you're, like, asking me, I think it is interesting, and you're right, you're adding these layers about the stuff, but I want to have sex with monster girls. I don't think I have many more layers that I can add. I can have sex with a plant, half insect monster girl that looks like a book.
Well, okay, but so no, you're right, because, like, is having sex with a tentacle monster that's hands are shaped like dicks, is that gay? No, it's not gay, because it's, like, the farthest thing from humanity. Sonic is, like, so far removed from humanity that the only way it can be gay is if you're interested in the traits that are both human and masculine.
So what do you think makes Sonic masculine? What do you think are the masculine traits of Sonic?
So again, we're having to use heteronormative standards during Pride Month.
He has pretty feminine hair.
See, I don't think his hair is feminine or masculine. I think it's its own weird thing. I think really the only thing. So Sonic doesn't have tits. He has a masculine chest. No, that's not even true. He's got, like, this weird orb. That's why I think maybe wanting to have sex with Sonic is not all that gay, unless you want to get into his personality, right? Which is traditionally, like, this cockiness, this, like, sense of humor. He likes chili dogs. Those are traditionally masculine archetypes. I don't think there's a whole lot physically about Sonic that is masculine. Even his voice, you know, like, he's got, like, a high voice sometimes.
Why do you think Sega knew how to make Sonic into a Western masculine figure when they're Japanese? Shouldn't Sonic be a little more like a K-pop star?
Okay, but that's like so... Not, I mean, like, isn't masculinity all over the world has some pretty traditional understandings, right? Like, things are a little different, but, like...
I just think of, like, Sonic being really different from, like, Samurai.
But I think that's because Sonic is supposed to be this, like, globalist character, right? Sonic is supposed to appeal to the Western audience because he is, like, a Western figure, right? He's got freaking basketball shoes on.
And yeah, that's what I also was thinking, because he loves donuts and stuff like that too, right?
He doesn't love donuts, he loves chili dogs.
Oh, who loves donuts?
I love donuts, but I don't know who loves donuts in the Sonic the Hedgehog. Oh, in the movie, the guy likes donuts.
Oh, I thought, like, it was based off a video game, because, like, they go through donuts.
They go through rings. What are you talking
really?
About?
Really? Okay, never mind.
No. What the fuck are you talking about? They never go through a donut in the movie.
I thought they go through donuts in the video games. I might just be dumb. Sorry.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard, Walter. Holy fuck.
I think it's so fucking cool that, like, Sonic's power is that he runs incredibly fast. and the upgrade is something that like makes him run faster.
Dude, well, that's why I love. I guess I should probably talk about this. I didn't realize this until I watched both Sonic and The Flash. I love movies about people who run superhumanly fast, and because I also love the CW Flash show, even though it's so fucking stupid. I just like the idea of someone who could like run really fast. Like, that's the answer to a narrative issue, is just like, just run fast. And if you think about it, it makes the most sense. Like, right? Because like, if you can run fast, you can kind of do anything.
The Flash has a power up that makes him run faster.
Dude, every episode and season of The Flash boils down to the Flash needs to be able to run faster. Like, every season, that's how he wins. It's like, oh, well, guess what? Now the Flash can run faster. There's like one season where Flash running faster isn't the final win. Even then, they get there by Flash being able to run faster.
Interesting. That's actually pretty funny. But that's still different from the rings. These are the fucking magical items of Sonic. And all they do is make him go to another place faster.
Yeah, it just teleports
when him. He's already like the fastest fucking thing in the world. And I think that's so funny and ironic. Well, but,
admittedly, you can't run through space. So you would need the ring to go to a different planet.
That's true. But he does use it to like go to San Francisco.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Why doesn't he just run? Yeah.
But Flash is faster than Sonic too. So
I mean, Flash is like faster than everyone. There's like no one. Maybe if he's not as fast as Superman. I'm pretty sure the Flash is faster than Superman though, because the Flash can like run through time, and I'm pretty sure the Superman can't do that.
Yeah, Flash runs around the Earth in 6 seconds. I don't think Superman can do that.
Superman can go pretty fast, but he can't fly through time.
Okay, then can Superman go faster than Sonic?
I would have to like do some math to figure that out, because like Superman's done some crazy shit, like feet wise like flew from one galaxy to the next in like not that long of a time.
Does Flash have to talk the same way that Sonic does, constantly talk because their brain moves too fast, because they move too fast?
Depends on what iteration of the Flash you're looking at. That's what he's like in the Justice League. He's like fast talking guy.
Wait, so do the rings actually teleport you to another place in the games?
Dude, I don't know. There's like a giant Sonic canon universe in the comics that I know nothing about. I'm sorry, Sonic fans of the world. I don't think there's been Sonic with good narrative legs until these movies. I don't know. Maybe I've not read the Sonic comics. I think these movies having solid narrative legs is also a stretch. Like, I think these Sonic movies are very good kids movies, but I don't think, like, there's a whole lot of meat on them, their plot bones.
I don't think there's a lot of meat, but I appreciate the energy. I think the energy in those films are like really, really special. I don't think a lot of movies have that type of energy.
I really like these movies as kids' movies. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It doesn't present anything super complicated. I don't think your kid's gonna like learn a whole lot from Sonic. You know, like you give your kids up and they're gonna like learn some shit.
No, they're not.
They're gonna learn that grandma and grandpa might die one day. That's like numero uno.
If my kid had to learn that from the film, I'd kill my kid for bringing stupid.
I think the person I would want to be romantically involved with is the best friend. Not the cop, not the sheriff, or the sheriff's wife, but the sheriff's wife's best friend, who's like kind of mad at both him and Sonic.
The sister.
Yes. Sister, excuse me. She's okay. Sister. Yeah. I think out of all the characters I'd want to spend time with, it would be Hart. Like, I think Sonic and I would get along, but I don't think he would suit me as a partner. I need someone who's, like, pragmatic, someone who's not willing to just, like, let people walk all over them. Like, if someone is, like, being unkind to, like, my friend, I'm usually pretty good at, like, stepping in, but, like, I'm not always good at doing that for myself, and I think the sister would be, like, really good at being like, no, Suede, you're allowed to, like, ask for a raise. Like, you work hard at your job, you should probably get a raise. I think she'd be in my corner. If we're talking about traditional Sonic characters that you would want to date, I think it would be Dr. Eggman because of all of his cool robots. And he's got so much charisma on screen in this movie.
Well, Jim Carrey is amazing in this film, so I know a lot of people said he's
not. That's because they're dumb.
Yeah, I thought this was like a back to the past, like some of his 90s shit. Maybe like a little less intense. A lot of video game characters gets put on screen and you're like, oh, I'm so excited. This just caught me off guard. I was like, what the fuck? This is amazing. This understanding of Eggman is like so cool and so fun.
Dude, and it's even better in the second movie. I mean, he is like so good in the second movie too. Here's what I'm going to say, because I brought this like kind of because I wanted to have goofs, and actually through talking with some people, I realized the truth of this like actual thing that I want to say, which I think actually does have to do with my understanding of human sexuality, and I also think like is a more serious concept, which is that I think when people want to have sex with Sonic the Hedgehog, it illustrates how useless labels like gay and straight are, right? Because they don't get to the meat, that it's so much more complicated than just I'm gay, I'm straight, right? And that why I think both you and I gravitate towards using queer as a definition, right? Because it encompasses this thing that's like, no, it's not a binary, it's not an either or both. Like, I think even bisexual or pansexual is like maybe kind of not a useful definition, because they all are about binaries or exclusions and inclusions of binaries, where this umbrella of queer is like kind of like way more nuanced and complicated. And the more definitions you add to human sexuality, the less accurate it gets when we're talking about human sexuality as a totality. Definitions are only useful when you're talking about the micro. As soon as you get to a macro, it's like a waste of time.
I can agree to that, but I do think it's important to note that we two are both uniquely macro thinking people. And also, I don't think the macro and micro are so inherently different that everyone has a firm grasp of how to separate them. So sometimes when someone's having a conversation about a macro sense, the other person might be having a conversation about the micro sense, which actually the furry community is a pretty good example. And I'm not too like understanding of the furry community, but my understanding of sexualizing Sonic or sexualizing Rouge is a big one, and the other big entry level.
It's Rogue.
Rogue,
it's,
sorry.
No, it's Rouge. Is it Rouge?
I think it's Rouge, right?
That. Like the makeup. Yeah, it's Rouge, like the makeup.
And then the third big is Lola Bunny, right? These three, the reason why they're thrown around so easily is because a lot of the mentality towards those three characters is very I towards them, while the furry community is a lot more about let me identify.
Yes,
as something.
That's true. It's not just sex for the furry community. It's like I want to be a unicorn or like a fox.
Honestly, if you want to fuck Sonic, I see you as like, because as a young kid, I was lonely too, and I was a nerd, and I think a lot of lonely nerds love Sonic. But I didn't take that fork. So that's why I was fascinated to why people fucking like Sonic. Because for me, I would never want to like deal with someone who would want to take me out of my house and make me do things in real life when I just wanted to stay home and play video games or watch movies.
Even though literally that's what I used to make you do when we lived together.
Exactly. So that's what I mean. You're Sonic. Literally, people have a crush on you because you and Sonic embody the same type of allure.
Are we falling in love right now on this podcast? Are we falling in love?
I don't know. I'm only attracted to blue hedgehogs, unfortunately. So you might need to grow some electronic pricks.
Damn it. You're a hedgehog sexual. Also, just we got to mention this. Knuckles is an echidna, which means he has one penis that splits into four penises. It's called a hemipene. And yes, Sonic is a hedgehog, which means he has a bone in his penis biologically. Like, yes, I know. Tails is a fox. I don't know anything about fox penises, so.
But what I am curious is the character of Sonic. Would you want to fuck the character of Sonic? Because I actually don't fucking get it at all.
You mean his personality, right?
Yeah. You.
Yes. Well, of course I would fuck myself. Would you have sex with a clone of yourself?
Not really, because my personality is also something that would make me super fucking butthurt all the time.
If you were like, oh, clone Walt, let's go to the theater. Let's go see a play. And your clone would be like, oh, I kind of want to just watch Bebe and eat a Big Mac.
I mean, that would be kind of fun, but it's more like if the clone of myself got mad at me, they would be passive aggressive. And even though I'm very passive aggressive, I hate passive aggressive with me. So it'll just be a gigantic mess where we both become more and more passive aggressive against each other because we hate how the other person is being passive aggressive.
I think the nice thing about having sex with myself is that instantly afterwards, I know the clone of myself would be ready to fight me to the death. So like, no matter what happens after the sex, we're gonna try and kill each other. Because after I have sex with myself, it would be too perfect. There would be nothing else that could be as good as that. And so we would have to destroy each other.
You just love yourself that fucking much.
Yeah, dude, especially with my new big muscles. My new masculine muscles.
Why do you want me to love your muscles? That's kind of fucking weird. That's kind of fucking weird.
I want you to love my muscles. Hear that, world? Walter hates muscles. I would not have sex with Sonic the Hedgehog's character because of how cocky he is. Not because of his, like, kind of, like, bouncing off the wall ADD energy. Because I'm, like, ADD in a very unpleasant and neurotic way. But, like, it would be very nice to date someone who's, like, ADD but also more positive than I am. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's actually so interesting. You guys would be some very funny chemistry yin-yang.
Because I'd be, like, sitting there, like, smoking a cigarette, like, worrying about my dad and my cat and the mountains. And my partner would be, like, looking at a tree. and they'd be like, oh my god, look at that squirrel. Isn't it so great? We should go carve squirrels. We should go make squirrel carvings. And I'd be like, I just want the world to be over. And then they would kiss me on the cheek and they would say, no. You know what we're talking about? Sonic is a manic pixie dream girl. That's actually what it is. Sonic is a manic pixie dream girl.
Then that exactly explains why people are sexually attracted to Sonic.
You like manic pixie dream girls, right, Walter?
Sort of. But okay, maybe my understanding of a manic pixie dream girl is wrong, because I don't understand how Sonic's personality can be sexy in the bedroom. I just like imagine Sonic hammering me and then Sonic being like, oh boy, oh yeah, oh fuck yeah, this is good, this is awesome, I'm having fun, are you having fun, woot woot. I'd be like, what the fuck is going on, shut the fuck up. Do manic pixie girls do that?
They're not sexy. The manic pixie dream girl's never sexy. The beauty of the manic pixie dream girl is, look at this puddle, isn't it great? And meanwhile, you're like thinking about your tax return, but then the manic pixie dream girl like kisses you on your nose, on the tip of your nose, and is like, let's go look at frogs. And you like, it's not about being sexy, it's about like being free. It's almost like kind of some weird fucked up like return to childhood shit.
I don't know. It still feels different from like getting a tap on your shoulder and then the manic pixie dream girl like giving you a smile than like getting a tap on their shoulder and you're turning around and it's just some handsome motherfucker who goes, gotta go fast, gotta go fast.
Here's why I don't think it's all that different. They both brighten the room. They're both like, oh man, it's so fun to be around you. You bring so much whimsy into the universe.
Oh wait, this is what I think might be a little different. Aren't manic pixie dream girls supposed to be a little sad? I thought manic pixie dream girls were like things that you could save. Like that's why they were problematic, because they were like a little broken.
No. My understanding of manic pixie dream girls is that they're here to save you. They are a little broken and you guys can be broken together. The manic pixie dream girl narrative is like a guy who like, you know, has like had a real rough go at it. And then there's a girl who's also had a rough go at it, but isn't like completely sad and broken like the dude is. And they can connect on that, like, oh, she listens to the Smiths too, and she doesn't just like the music, her mom also died on the toilet just like my mom, and so when we both listen to the Smiths we think of our mom pooping to death together. But the manic pixie dream girl shows you that like even though your mom died on the toilet you could still like see the rain,
you could still gotta go fast.
And Sonic is like that in this movie, right? Because he's like, oh man, I'm kind of all alone, and also my weird owl died, but also I can still go run real fast and play in the baseball diamond. Sonic can be sad with you because both your dad is dead and his owl friend is dead, but you both can still learn the joys of Olive Garden.
Dude, okay, I'm convinced. Then maybe I would be able to fuck Sonic. Maybe what this is actually showing me is that I'm not that attracted to manic pixie dream girls too.
I think Sonic would need to be in like an indie movie, and the girl would have to like be a blonde with a pixie cut, is like going cross country to see like every shoe store.
It should be a litmus test for any actress to be considered a good actress or to win an Oscar after they've acted a Sonic the Hedgehog fan fiction role, and see how well they say the line, gotta go fast.
Gotta go fast. When I think of Sonic the Hedgehog and like weird stuff, I always think of people wanting to like shrink down and be like put in Sonic's shoe and like be in his like stinky shoe because he runs so fast and they like his shoe.
Oh, so do you think people who want to fuck Sonic might actually just want to be Sonic and not actually want to fuck Sonic?
That is not the response I got. Because see, that's how I feel about like Godzilla. I want to have sex with Godzilla because I want to be Godzilla.
And that would be bad because it's perfect.
Then I would have to kill Godzilla. Exactly right. Exactly right. Well, I think with my noggin that the responses I got from my Sonic the Hedgehog forums, no one was talked about wanting to be Sonic. They all just talked about wanting to fuck Sonic. We'll end on this. When Sonic 2 came out, when they translated it in Japanese, apparently one of my favorite Japanese VTubers, Kurone Inugami, did some voiceover work for that because she loves Sonic so much. And she recently got like a new virtual YouTube outfit that's like Sonic themed, and she loves Sonic, and I love Kurone.
That's pretty cute. Don't all those Japanese VTubers play Apex Legends?
Some of them do. Karone does a lot of the old school games, though.
So she loves Sonic for the games.
Yeah.
Because most of those games are not plot-based games, right?
No, they're not. Or they're like super light plot-based. Like Sonic and Knuckles has a very basic plot. But it's like those old Nintendo games where the plot is like kind of all inferred rather than like there being exposition, right? So for instance, Sonic Heroes has a plot that you have to like kind of figure out. Or Sonic Adventure 2. Sonic 06, do you know about that game?
No.
It's apparently, like, the worst Sonic game, which is saying a lot, because most Sonic games are bad. And also, at the end of it, Sonic kisses a real-ass woman. Like, there's an interspecies romance subplot.
Does Corone want to have sex with Sonic?
No. Corone is pure. She's pure. Don't you ever fucking say that. You shut your mouth.
Okay.
Fucking apologize to Corone.
So what does she want to do? Explain to me what she wants
to do. She wants to play the Sonic games because she likes Sonic. Apologize.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Walter, if you don't apologize, this podcast is over. If you don't apologize, this podcast is over.
I apologize, Corone.
That's right. We're sorry, Corone. We love you. We love you, Corone!
This bit became incredibly interesting.
Which bit? Which bit?
This apology bit to fucking Corone, dude. It's a fucking snooze fest. But, you know, podcast is over, so it doesn't even matter.
I don't know why you want to besmirch one of my Oshis, one of my favorite VTubers.
I don't want to besiege her. Why is asking her to fuck Sonic a besiege? That sounds like a you problem.
Because, Walter, that's inappropriate. You wouldn't ask the Queen of England if she wanted to have sex with Sonic?
You can ask me if Anna Karina would want to have sex with Sonic. I would just peacefully...
Can I ask you if your mom would want to have sex with Sonic?
She probably would not, but
oh,
thanks for asking.
You want to talk about your mom fucking Sonic the Hedgehog?
My fine gentleman, that is an interesting question. She perhaps may not want to fuck Sonic, but thank you for your question. It was very pleasurable to talk to you.
Downstairs last night, my mom and dad were watching Fire Island, that movie about like gay Asian folks, and they were halfway through it and I was like, wait, what are you watching? Because normally they just watch NCIS on repeat. They're like, we're watching this. And I was like, is it any good? It's kind of boring, actually. And I was like, boring? That's not the response I expected from my parents. But so if anyone's interested in watching Fire Island, apparently it is boring.
It's influenced by Pride and Prejudice.
That's weird, because that book's not gay at all. I don't think, anyways. I'm pretty sure there's not any lesbian subtext. I'd have to read it again.
There's not very much lesbian subtext, but I would say Mr. Darcy and the other guy might be a little gay. And also, I think Mr. Darcy is attracted to Elizabeth's masculine features. Mr. Darcy is definitely gay for Charles, but then realizes Elizabeth is kind of a man, and then falls in love with Elizabeth. 100% that's what Pride and Prejudice is about.
Okay. So you've heard it here, folks. Also, I want to thank, we got 2 new Twitter followers, @LimnorApp, which I think is just an application. It's one of those people who just, like, follows stuff in order to make people look at their application, which is cool. Thanks, application, for following us.
An application for what?
I don't know. Fucking the best social media audio app.
Oh, an app. Why do you call it an application? Why don't you just call it an app?
Because that's what app is short for, application.
Really?
What do you think app is short for? Appetizer? Apricot?
Oh, fuck. I forgot application had two different meanings.
Fucking stupid.
No. I thought that you were talking about application like they were applying for something with us.
No, it was an app, like a telephone app. Okay, so Linmore app, check it out if you're interested in applications.
Applications for schools.
Yes, if you want to apply to college, check out Linmore app. More importantly, though, Jenny Roach, aka @Junebug925, has recently followed us. Thanks, Jenny. She's a boy mom, dog mom, book lover, aspiring writer, lawyer, Detroit sports fanatic, and patriarchy smasher.
She probably followed us because she wants to fuck Sonic.
She seems like a very nice woman.
Why do you always delineate?
Dude, because a lot of people would be upset.
Down Sonic fans,
it's because a lot of people would be upset if you said that they wanted to fuck Sonic the Hedgehog. That's all I'm saying.
And I definitely think that's true, but I think in 20 years' time, they're going to have to go back and delete all their texts about it.
Okay, all I'm saying is that this woman has, like, a lot of nice pictures with, like, her kid.
I'm making a compliment.
Like, okay.
Having sex with Sonic is woke and also in the future will be cool. So if you don't want to have sex with Sonic now, learn how to fuck Sonic. You have 20 years' time before you get outcasted and canceled. Guaranteed on this podcast.
I think that's just because you're not powerful enough. You need to hit the gym, Walt. You need to hit the gym. Gotta hit the gym, bro. All my fake film fans out there, come on, let's gym it up. Let's get swole. Yeah. We're gym bros now. We're no longer a movie podcast. We're a gym cast. Muscles. Yeah. I loved you. Yeah, I'd love you even if you were Sonic the Hedgehog.
Why even though? Stop shitting on Sonic fans, man. What the fuck is wrong with you?
All right, folks. I want to thank everyone for listening. Be sure to share this podcast with people. I just like want other people to listen to it. Just share it. Share it up, baby.
And I love you too, Suede. And you know, I have a lot of people I love. And since this is our Pride episode, I just want people to know. Sometimes when I see a lot of stuff in humanity, it's like really fucking depressing.
Oh my God,
but
yep.
These type of moments are like really, really uplifting.
I agree.
There's something about like organizing over Pride of stuff like this is... it's just really cool. So thank you, because this past month has had a lot of very depressing things in America and in fucking Hong Kong.
And all over the world.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to next Pride month. Every single year, it's been fun.
Yeah, I know Walter went out and sucked a lot of dicks for Pride.
I watched Paris and Burning for the 6th fucking time. That's what I actually did.
And I went out and sucked a lot of dicks.
Okay, congratulations. I thought you just went to the gym, man.
That's what you do at the gym. The gym is an inherently queer experience. All right, this is like getting off the rails, so let's get this back. I want to thank everyone for listening, and I don't think there's anything left to say, except if you're going to watch a movie, do it with the lights on.